All right, brethren, let's go back to Psalm 68. I want to speak on verse 19. I read this verse and it got to the end and it said, Selah. And I tried to stop and think on this a little while and pray on this a little while. And I think the Lord gave me a message. Verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Now we saw that this speaks of Christ. He's the one who ascended on high, who led captivity captive. And Christ is truly, as verse 19 says, he is the God of our salvation. As verse 20 says, he that is our God is the God of salvation. Can you say Christ is your God? Can you say he is your God? Can you own him to be your God? In every way that his people need salvation, Christ is our salvation. There's no part of salvation that's up to me and you. In every way that we need salvation, Christ is the God of our salvation. Salvation has always been in his hands. He's God. He always has been the God of our salvation. He was the God of our salvation in eternity. He was the God of our salvation when he walked this earth and accomplished redemption for his people. And he's the God of our salvation now that he's ascended to the high hill higher than Bashan, where he sits and reigns. Verse 17 speaks of the chariots of God being 20,000, speaking of the thousands of angels, and the Lord is among them, just like he was among the angels at Sinai. When Christ gave the law at Sinai, the angels were, he was in the midst of the angels. We just sang, he's the archangel, and he is. He's Michael. He is the archangel, and he is in the midst of his angels, and he dispatches his thousands and legions of angels, he dispatches them just for the protection of his people. The people and the events of this earth right now are ruled exactly, doing exactly only what Christ would have them to do. And Satan can only do anything by Christ's permission. And here's the good thing. Here's the good news. Our Lord Jesus Christ exercises his dominion at all times for the salvation of his people. Everything that's happening, from the time he created the earth until the time he folds it up and everything in between, he's been working for the salvation of his people. Everything. Everything that happens. He is the God of our salvation. Go to Psalm 3. I want you to see what this means. You know, you would think you could read, he is the God of our salvation, and we could get this. But we need to read a few scriptures and get what that means. Psalm 3, verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. He's salvation. All of salvation is of him. Look at Psalm 37 and look at verse 39. Psalm 37, 39. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Their righteousness is of the Lord. And the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. You don't have to turn here, but let me read Isaiah 25, 9 to you. It shall be said in that day, and this is the day he comes to you in power. It's the day that Christ finished his work. It's the day you behold him in glory. This is it. Anytime you behold him, in that day it shall be said, lo, this is our God. We've waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. What does that mean? It means just what Jonah said. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. My subject is God who daily loads us. Now, there are two ways God loads his people that are spoken of in this passage. And those will be our points. This is how he is the God of our salvation. Now, first is just what it appears to mean here with the words the translators have added. He daily loadeth us with benefits. That is, he bestows benefits on his people daily. Now, here's the nature of all his gifts. This is the nature of all his gifts. Their frequency, daily. Daily. Their number, he loadeth us abundantly. And they are benefits. That means they're not something we deserve and they're not something we earn. They're something he freely gives you. He freely gives you. Now let's think about some of these benefits. And as we look at these now, please don't just hear this and think, yeah, I know that, and just check off a box. Think about how he has loaded you with these benefits. One, and this is how we come into this realization of these benefits. He's loaded us with the means of grace. He's loaded us with the means of grace. He sent us the preaching of the gospel in spirit and in truth. And he daily loads us with the benefits. He said in Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. You picture Christ in heaven. You picture the temple of the Lord in heaven, surrounded by the fence and the gates. And he's saying, and here you are in the earth, but you're listening for him. When you come hear the gospel preached, this is how he's going to speak to his people. And he says, blessed is he that heareth me. And when you go to him in prayer, when you're listening to his word preached, you're watching daily at his gate. You're waiting at the post of his door. You're there trying to get a word from him. Is that why we're here? I pray that's why we're here, that we're wanting a word from God to speak to us. The preaching of the gospel is the means that God chose to save his people. This is the means of grace. This is how he's chosen to save his people. It's a foolish means to this world. It's despised by most. It's considered an ignorant thing by those that think they're wise. But by this method, this is how God says in 1 Corinthians 1 that no flesh is going to glory in his presence. If you go somewhere and they claim to be preaching the truth of God and you see folks glorying in their flesh, you can rest assured they're not preaching the glory of God. Because where the true gospel is being preached, there's going to be no way anybody can have any reason to glory in their flesh. Not in the message being preached, not in the way the service is carried out, not in who he uses to preach. There's nothing about it that's going to give anybody any reason to glory in their flesh. But here's what you will have. Those that glory will glory in the Lord. This is why he's chosen this means. This is how he's doing this. Now you think about the benefit that the Lord has loaded on you in that he sent the gospel to where you are. Most of you sitting here are from New Jersey. There are few or not, but most of you are. He didn't make you move to where the gospel was. He brought the gospel to you. That's a great benefit. You didn't have to leave your home. You didn't have to leave your family. You didn't have to leave the land you know and love. He brought it to you. He doesn't do that for everybody. He makes some leave and go. And if you're here as a young believer and you grew up in a house where you had a mother and a father who believed the gospel and they pressed upon you the importance of assembling together with the saints of God under the preaching of the gospel, preached in spirit and in truth, oh, what a benefit God's given to you. Don't take that lightly. That's a daily benefit he's given to you. And for you young believers who he's actually impressed with that value and made you see how valuable that is. That's a great benefit he's given you. This is how he's going to begin saving us. This is how he's going to keep it going from here on out. He's going to save us this way. People make fun of us gathering and sitting in the same places and hearing the gospel preached, and they don't know what they're missing. They really don't know what they're missing. Here's another thing. God daily loadeth us with the blessings of his grace. This is through this means. He's loaded us with the blessings of his grace. God our Father, through the blood and righteousness of his Son, sent forth the Holy Spirit. And listen to how Paul worded this in Ephesians 1:17. The Holy Spirit gave unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Talk about a benefit. He gave you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This gospel can't be understood, not lovingly, not savingly, except by revelation, except by him giving you the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, given of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We looked at this Sunday. This is the unction. This is the anointing whereby you know all things. We were spiritually dead. He came and gave us life. And he continues to sustain that life. We were spiritually blind. This book was a sealed book to us, and he gave you eyes to see. Do you remember that? We were just talking about that earlier with Iana, how she's just excited that she's seeing things in the scriptures, and she's hearing things in the gospel that she never heard before. Remember when you could see for the first time? He gave you ears to hear where you can hear this word. We were ignorant. He took the things of Christ and he showed them unto us. And he teaches his people how God has loaded us with benefits from eternity. This thing didn't just start. It's not something I did to get these benefits. They started back in eternity. He shows you how that he freely, undeservingly chose us unto salvation simply because he would. He made you to know how he predestinated you unto the adoption of children. You know who loves the doctrine of predestination? Those that were predestinated unto the adoption of children. And in the time appointed, in the time predestinated, because you were sons already, he came to where you are and he sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. And for the first time, you began to cry out, Abba, Father. What a benefit. What a benefit. And all of these benefits are in Christ and they're by Christ. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what the psalmist is rejoicing in. He's the God of our salvation. Nobody can be against us. And then think of the benefit as it being the riches of his glory. I like these phrases Paul used where he's pressing upon us just how valuable these things are to us. The riches of his glory. You sit and think about that phrase. The riches of God's glory. Talk about some riches. That's a lot of riches. The riches of God's glory. Here's what he made you to know. He come and loaded you and made you know this. For you that know him, he made you know you're a vessel of mercy that he afore prepared unto glory. You're a vessel that he chose and he prepared, blessing you in Christ, choosing you in Christ, way afore, way back there. He prepared you for glory. When he entered in covenant to be our surety with the Father, when Christ entered covenant to be our surety with the Father, he became the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means God never looked to you, and he never looked to me. He looked to Christ. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? And then Christ came. Now, he's the unspeakable benefit. Christ came, and the scripture says he redeemed our life from destruction by his blood. That's what he did for us. He redeemed our life from destruction. What a benefit. You know why redemption is so valuable to you and me who believe? Because it's the precious, priceless blood of God. That's why. God came in human flesh and took flesh and took blood and poured out that life for us. And here's what makes it precious too. He didn't do it for everybody. He did it for you that it, or he is. You talk about loading you with benefits. And he loads us with these benefits daily as well. He grows us in the knowledge of him. We go after a lot of useless knowledge. We go after a lot of knowledge that is not really knowledge at all and spend a waste of time on it. But he's growing you in knowledge of him. When you come into here, we're not talking about this world's knowledge and what this world can teach you. We're trying to learn some knowledge of him, from him, by him, about him, the knowledge of him. He teaches us Christ is the God of our salvation. That's something that we ought not just read that and say, well, I kind of knew that. Think about that. He's the God. One, he's God. You know, most people don't believe Christ is God. Most religious folks don't believe Christ is God. He's God, and he's the God of our salvation. That means he's all of it is of him. Christ is God omnipotent. Is he not the God-man? Is he not God omnipotent? All power is his in heaven and in earth and all deep places. He's God omnipresent. He said to us, lo, I'm with you always. How can he be in two places at once? Only if he's God. Everywhere at once. He's God omniscient. He knows what's in your heart and mind. Let me tell you something. Don't ever think you're going to do something, and especially not to one of his people, and get away with it. It ain't going to happen. It's wide open before God. He knows us. We're going to have to stand before him. We're going to have to deal with him. He knows everything about us. Now, if you're a believer, that's a blessing to you because he's put a new heart in you and you want him to see that heart. You don't want him to see the heart in your old man. You want him to see that heart and know that heart. But if you're not a believer, what I just said terrified you. That God knows everything about you. He does. And we're talking about Christ. He's God omniscient. He's God immutable. Isn't that what the scripture says? He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's God triumphant. In Christ, his people have full, complete forgiveness and pardon of our sin. They're put away. So he's growing at that. You know this. I'm not even scratching the surface on this. I mean, I read John Gill's Body of Divinity. It took me 6 years to read it, study it, and I still didn't scratch the surface of what we're talking about here. We're talking about the knowledge of God. And he teaches you the knowledge of him. He's growing you in the knowledge of him. And also, he's growing us. These are the benefits he loads us with. He's growing us in grace, in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He's growing his people in love. True love. Not that feigned, hypocritical love that religious folks have. True love. Godly love. He's growing us in joy. Peace. He's growing us in long-suffering. He's growing us in gentleness, in goodness, in faith, in meekness, in temperance. These are things he's growing you in. He does so daily. There's never a time when he's created you anew that he's not growing you in grace from that day forward. And as he's doing it, he's daily saving us from the body of this death. He's delivering us from the body of this death that we still carry around the whole time as well. He will not let your old man reign. He won't let sin as far as justice and condemnation reign over you because you're not under the law, you're under grace. And he's not going to allow your sin nature to dominate you so as to make you to where you won't believe. Or so as to make you to where you turn from him back to your works and to the law. He's not going to do that. He's going to keep you trusting him. And he's growing that inner man day by day, renewed in the knowledge of him day by day. That's a daily benefit he's poured out on you. Could we make our babies grow any faster? Could we make them learn to walk any faster? They only grow as fast as God grows them. The same's true with his children. Same's true with our brethren. We ought never get discouraged. We ought never get discontented with one another because that God is daily loading us with the benefits of grace. He's daily growing us in grace, but we only grow as fast as God grows us. And sometimes he grows you by letting you fall on your face. You know how you're going to learn to be long-suffering? Somebody's not going to be long-suffering to you. And it's going to hurt you. And that's going to make you appreciate long-suffering. How do you learn not to touch a hot stove? You get burnt by a hot stove. And God will let you fall on your face to grow you in grace. We don't like the trial. We don't like to come into trials, and we don't want to suffer in trials. But the trials are a must. They must be, because that's the only way you're going to learn something. That's the only way you're going to be grown is to go through it and see. How are you going to learn God's grace is sufficient until you got no strength? And you have to trust the sufficiency of his grace. How are we going to learn that God never leaves us nor forsakes us until you're alone and you feel like the heavens are shut up and you feel like maybe I'm not a believer. Maybe he's turned me away. And then his word comes like a lightning beam into your heart and you just see the word and you just see him and you just rejoice all over again. And you learn he never leaves his people. But you have to suffer these things to teach you he's not going to leave you and he's not going to forsake you and he's going to keep you growing, make you love more, make you gentle, make you meek, make you kind, make you temperate. He's going to do these things by teaching you, daily loading you with those benefits. Now, here's something else. And this is probably what we all thought about first. And I purposely waited to the end of this point for this. He also daily loads us with temporal benefits. And I saved that for last because we usually think of that first, and that's the least of it, really. That's the least of it. When the Lord Jesus sent his ministers out to preach the gospel, he didn't give them any necessities. He didn't provide them with any of their necessities that they would have. He didn't give them instruction on how to provide necessity for themselves. He just sent them out with nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then when they came back, he asked them a question. He said, "Lacked ye anything?" You know their answer. Nothing. We didn't lack anything. He sent them out empty. But here's the thing. While he was in a body, as the God-man, he went before them. I don't mean in body. I mean in spirit. He went before them. When they would come to some brethren's house, he would turn the heart of those brethren to receive them and to provide for them and to clothe them and to feed them and to give them some spending money, whatever it was. He moved them to provide for their brethren. He's doing that for us today. And he daily loaded them with benefits so that they lack nothing. You think he's got the power to do that? Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years, and Moses went to him and he said, "When you wandered in these wilderness 40 years, your shoes didn't even wear out." He said, "Did you lack anything?" Elijah was in a land of famine. God sent that famine, and Elijah was suffering from that famine. He was hungry. It doesn't mean you're not going to get hungry. But what did the Lord do? He used the ravens, and he brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. That woman and her son had a little bit of meal and oil. That's all they had, was just a little enough for a cake and a little oil to cook it in. And they were going to eat that, she said, and die. And here comes this preacher. And he said, the Lord said, "Make me a cake first, and that oil and that meal won't run out." Now, I know we like to divide practical Christianity from spiritual Christianity and doctrine and all that. I'm going to tell you something. That's all rolled up into one right there. You think you'd have done that? Would you have had the faith to do that? Here's your child, and you're sitting there, and you got enough to just cook a little piece of cake for you and that child. And some man going to come up to you and say, "The Lord said, give that to me." It'd be hard to do. They had as many charlatan preachers in their day as we do in ours. They'd seen a lot of that before too. Why did that lady believe the Lord? He loaded her with benefits. He loaded her with food before he ever even put the oil in the barrel and the meal in the barrel. He loaded her with some spiritual food and gave her faith to trust the word of the Lord. And here's what happened. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The lesson there is, you believe on Christ, believe the word of the Lord that Christ our prophet delivered, and you won't lack anything. Nothing. Nothing. What would you answer if the Savior asked you today, "Lacked ye anything?" I know what you'd answer. If you're the Lord, you're going to answer what all the Lord's people answer. "Lord, I ain't ever lacked anything. I haven't lacked anything. Have you?" He's the God of our salvation that daily loadeth us with benefits. You look at everything David went through. I'd encourage you to go read over there where and see how the Lord chastened David after he sinned, and see what all the Lord took from David. And David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't lack anything." He wrote, "There's no want to them that fear him. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." That goes for tomorrow, same as yesterday, same as today. He daily loadeth us with benefits. But there's another meaning to this verse, and I just want to speak to this briefly. There's another meaning here. Notice the italics are added in verse 19. And if you take those italics out, you read, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us, even the God of our salvation." Go with me to Isaiah 46. Now remember there, he said, Christ led captivity captive, and then he says, he daily loadeth us. Now go to Isaiah 46, and I'm going to show you the same word and how it's translated over here. Isaiah 46:1, speaking of the idols that men make and carry around, he said, Isaiah 46:1, he said, "Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts." They had to get their horses and oxen and what have you to carry their gods. And he said, "And upon the cattle, your carriages were heavy loading." That word loading is the way we looked at the word the first time. You loaded up your carriages with your gods. They're a burden to the weary beast. They stooped, they bowed down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Now verse 3, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel." Here's the word, "which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he, and even to your gray hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you." And that's how the word could be translated in our text, or the meaning it carries is, daily, he loads us on himself. He loads us on his shoulder, and he carries us every day, daily. You see, man's idol gods can't carry them. They say that. They say they can't deliver unless they let them deliver. And all they do is make men bow down. But our God says, this ascended victorious Redeemer, they led captivity captive. He said, "You've been born by me from the belly. I've been carrying you from the belly. I carried you from the womb. And I will carry you until old age," he said. "I made you." That's not that. He made us physically, but he created you anew spiritually. He made you. "And I will bear you. I will carry you." And look at this. "And I will deliver you. I'm not going to drop you along the way and forget you. I'm going to bring you right to the end," he said. See, he's the God of our salvation who daily loads us on his shoulder. You think you're carrying a big burden? He's carrying you and your burden. You and your burden. We're assured that he's going to bear us to the end because he's already bore the tremendous burden that we have, our sin. Christ, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's the burden of every believer. That's what breaks your heart and bows you down, is your sin. He bore that already. He bore that already. He bore that away already. He said he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. He laid on him the iniquities of us all. He shall bear their iniquities. And he said, God said, "And I'm going to divide him a portion with the great, and he's going to divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many." And he accomplished it. He got it done. He made intercession for the transgressors. Knowing that he bore our sins away, and having his word saying, "I'm going to bear you. I've been bearing you from the womb. I'm going to carry you all the way to the end." You can be assured, since he's justified us, since he's made us righteous, he's not going to let us go. He's not going to put you down. He's going to carry you, and he's going to deliver you, and you can just bank on that. He bore us from eternity. He bore us on the cross. He bore us from our mother's womb. He will bear us unto salvation is finished. That's what he's saying. Daily, he's bearing you. Now, if you're sitting here and you're struggling with sin and guilt, what did Christ say? Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's put away the sin of his people. He's the only one that can give his people rest. He's saying, come to me. You know what he says to every believer? He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He doesn't say, throw your burden on the Lord, and he'll sustain your burden. He'll carry your burden. No, he says, you cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. You know what your burden is? It's the one he's going to sustain. You. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's who he made righteous. The righteous he made right. He won't suffer you to be moved. Moved away from him. Moved away from salvation. He won't suffer that. Isaiah 40:11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I want to end with this song. We sing Amazing Grace sometimes, but we don't sing John Newton's all of the verses. But let me just give you one of these you'll know, but let me read through these. This is the third verse. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. He daily loads us. He loads us with benefits. He gives us blessing. And as he's doing that, he loads us on his shoulder and he's carrying us. That's safety. That's security. That's salvation. That's why he says he's even the God of our salvation. All of it. All of it. Amen.